Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
What the hell that means. Emotional intelligence. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I just really love his... Hey, did you like him when he was 8 and 9? And you were 2 and 2? Holy shit. Hey, when you're the Super Bowl champs, you can bullshit anybody. It's all good, right? Hey, Jeffrey, when you were 1 and 7, and then you went 2 and 2. Oh man. Yeah, emotional intelligence. Holy shit. Oh, hold on here, man. I gotta towel off. What? All right. Without further ado, by the way, please hit the like button. You guys have been great. Gary Cobb's gonna join us at 4:30. Without further ado, our good friend, Bootsy Xander Krause, joins us now. And I know one of the best emotional, intelligent guys has got to be Big Z. How you doing?
Emotional intelligence is the ability to understand and manage your own emotions as well as the emotions of others.
Really?
I don't know if Nick Sirianni checks that box, Big Silv. Now, I don't know. Maybe that was a sell job right there. But look, I've become a Nick Sirianni guy. Emotional intelligence is not the word I would use to describe my boy Nick Sirianni. But that's okay. If the owner sees it, maybe he's got it. Who knows?
How much does he pay him, in your opinion? Does he make him the highest paid guy or no?
Yeah, I think he got to. Did you hear Johnny Mac bring up a funny topic this morning? Or no. I think it was BLG on our show. And he's like, well, he's Nick. They're going to pay Nick. But you got to wonder if the thought in their mind that they had after the 2017 Super Bowl of we're more important than Doug is permeating again. And they're like, I could get another coach at $7 million a year to do this. All right.
I said that yesterday to you.
The reason they're not going to go down that road, Silio, is because Nick is a yes man, you know, and I'm not saying that as a knock on Nick. It's just certain guys have different personalities, right? Some guys are better at that. Some guys are not. Doug was the kind of guy that wanted a little bit more leeway once he felt he earned it. The minute he tried to take it, they didn't like it very much. So I don't think Nick is going to go into doing that. I really don't. I think Nick knows his role. Is he going to try and overstep? Because I don't think he's that type of dude. And they're not going to move on from Nick, even if it means saving $10 million. They're not going to do it. They've been at the forefront of every financial milestone in the NFL.
That's right.
They're not going to stop now. They're not going to pull back now.
But how about this? I will say this, though, when it comes to Sirianni. I've never heard Sirianni ever fight for a player or a coach. Now, again, I want to finish the comment here on that because he knows his role in the building on what you're saying. There's a role for him. There's a role for Nick. And he's not going to do what Doug and Andy did. There's not going to be a tug of war with Nick Sirianni in the building. And I don't think that that's a Philly thing. I think that's how the prototypical NFL. Look at this Liam Cohen guy who's working with a new GM, the owner. Look at how all these other guys are now and all these young coaches are now working with all of the things that are in a front office today. And I just think Nick's a product of that. I'm not ripping it, Xander. All I'm saying is I think he understands how to navigate his way through that organization. Because he was asked a question the other day about Goddard. You know what a really coach that has a lot of gravitas in the building, you know what he would say? I don't want this guy to go. I'm fighting my ass off to keep him in the building. I don't want him to go. That's my guy. He's one of my favorite people. I don't want Dallas Goedert to go. And I'm fighting for my guy or fighting for a coach or what have you. Nick's not going to do that.
Well, no, because then when they moved on from Goddard, how would that make the owner and the general manager look? That's why he wouldn't do that. And that's, you know, I think that's a good example, actually, to bring up the type of coach Nick is. I think it works in Philly.
It really does work.
I don't view this as a knock on Nick. I did think the emotional intelligence comment was pretty funny on your part. But, you know, I thought the Jeffrey Lurie presser was good. And I've never been the biggest Jeffrey Lurie guy from a sense of personality. He's not the type of personality I would gravitate to. But I thought you hit the nail on the head when you said he clearly has his finger on the pulse of a lot of what's going on. And I thought he was pretty good in that, man. I thought he answered every question. Calm, cool. And I did a pretty good job.
I was impressed. I hate ownership. So just so you guys know, I'm anti-ownership because I think they lie out their ass.
Well, they do.
No. They have to.
They got toys, man. They got $7 billion toys. You know, they can do what the hell they want, and they know
that. That's right. Don't ever let them think that they fall in. I don't know, though, man. I mean, he said something interesting, too. He goes, look, I've gone out to dinner with Milton Williams and Josh Sweat. I've gone and we've done things socially, but it's what the league is. And I think I think he's as genuine as you could possibly get with his players without getting over the line. Because you know why? Maybe it's good cop, bad cop. Howie's the guy that has to go in there and say, we're trading him. And that's where Lurie steps back because you heard him say, I love all these guys, but it's just what the NFL is. So let me ask you, Jeffrey Lurie has been what to Xander Kraus, as owner of the Eagles?
Excellent. I mean, I'm not old enough to be around for the guys who stunk. So the only thing I've ever known has been pretty successful, but that's gone to a new level in the last couple of years. Anybody who doesn't admit that is lying. I mean, let's be real. Even a couple of years ago, you know, it started to feel like 2018 or 2017, the Super Bowl could have been a flash in the pan or, you know, lucky or anything and like that. Now you have the resume is coming together in a way that is undeniable. Results speak for themselves. The last 20 years under him have been the best 20 years in Eagles history. They've dominated their division. They've been at the top of their conference. And now you're talking about being at the top of the NFL with two Super Bowls. If you get the three, you know, you're now in rarefied air in terms of Super Bowl winner. So I think he's easily the best owner in the city. I think he's easily the best owner the Eagles have ever had. And I'm certainly grateful to him, even if we have our differences or whatever. But I'm grateful. I think he's done a great job. My favorite thing about him is that I do honestly get the sense that he wants to win. Even if he wants to do it his way, he wants to win. And I love that about him because I like a guy that wants to win.
You think he's been a better owner than Jerry Jones?
Depends who's asking.
I think he has. And I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't matter who the coach is in the building. They've been to Super Bowls without. It's not a one guy thing. Yeah. They win more. He bought the team for $185 million. The team's worth 6-6.
More stable success in Philly, I feel like.
Yeah. It's just, I think, and again, he's been more consistent in winning than what Jerry's winning came early when it came to, you know, when it came, because he had one guy. This guy has hired multiple people, multiple GMs. And the one consummate in the building has been who? It's been the owner. It has completely been the owner here. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles a year ago would have won the Super Bowl if the tush push wasn't legal a year ago? If they didn't have that play a year ago. By the way, it's an identity play for them. That's part of their identity.
You know, in a way, it's good because, I think you dubbed it the other day. It's the Jalen Hurts rule.
Yeah, it's the
Eagles rule, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and they had that. I think they would have won, though, for sure. I mean, that's not why they won and helped them in moments and games, but they won because they were a dominant defense and a dominant rushing attack. You know, as far as I'm concerned, whether the tush push was in last year or not, they were going to be the best running game in football, and they were going to be the best defense in football. So without a rule that would take that away, I don't think you could say that they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. Maybe they would have had to play certain games differently, of course. But, I mean, they put up, what, 40 points in the Super Bowl? And I think they had one first touchdown.
I made this comment, Xander. I said instead of winning 14, they win 12 and they still win the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe
and I think
one of those tight games.
We talked about this a little bit ago. I do think that fans' expectations now should be wired more toward that. You know, where you remember in 23 and the Chiefs, they had an awful start to the year. They really didn't look like a good team at all. Many people didn't even know how, you know, if they were going to get out of the first round of the wild card. And ultimately, they found their rhythm. They got into the playoffs and they won the games that count. And now, if you're an Eagle fan, you're going for three now. You're not even going for your first since your first. I think there's a different aura around going for the third. And the approach has to be, we have to dominate when it counts. And that's in the playoffs. I mean, 14 wins is awesome, but that's what the Cowboys do. Think about it. How many times do we hear from Mark Holmes and every other Cowboy guy, hey, we win 12 games every year. Okay. You know, that's great. You're a good regular season.
Didn't the games matter?
Right, so don't fall in love with the 13-14 win. Yeah. That's great, but let's get into the playoffs. Let's be a good team. Let's stay healthy and then win the games when they count. And I think the Birds are set up to do that, but again, that's a little bit of the changing of expectations, you know, where you come into every game as Eagle fans, you know, we want to win, and if we don't win, the sky's falling, you know? And I think we're still going to have that in a way, but definitely got to alter our expectation as a championship organization.
All right, here I want you to follow along with me here on this. Do you believe that the NFL is making narratives up? I'm not even debating if the play's good or play's bad, this and that, what have you anymore. When you have the commissioner of the league, when you have the competition committee, when you have the league's doctor coming forward, they're making things up that don't exist.
It's done. It's gone.
Why are you, what would be the reason in your mind? There's no intel. Even the owner came out. I said, because Rich McKay, who we're going to get on the program. I've already talked to Rich. He's going to find time. He's the chairman of the competition committee. You know what the chairman of the competition committee? I told him he was full of shit too, by the way. I told Rich, I go, so Rich, the play doesn't look like a football play. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, right.
You can't have more of a football play. That's made up. The injury thing is made up. Why do you think? I told you my reasoning. Because they don't think it looks good on TV.
Yeah, and the other point, I think that would be fair, because you did sway me on that opening point. I mean, you know, let's be real here. This business is dominated and run by television deals. The reason that quarterbacks make more, wide receivers make more, everybody's contracts are going up. I mean, as much as fans like to believe it's us, we're not really the catalyst for that. That's the TV deals. Now, we are because we watch the games, but the TV deals are where that money comes from. It's not merch. It's not any of those things. So I agree about that. The other thing I would wonder is there merit to, you know, the long-term lawsuit potential on owners? Because John said something interesting, all right? You know, and we talked about, somebody brought up a super chat and they said, oh, yeah, they care about safety, but they'll add an 18th game. And the difference is an 18th game would be collectively bargained. And anything that...
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Collectively bargained, the league and the owners would not be held liable for that. Now, this tush push, this injury stuff, that is not collectively bargained. And if there is some sort of long-term issue, you know, they could become liable for that. And I think John brings up a good point. The way to win the votes is probably that, because I think
opened my show
is that Roger Goodell wants it out because of what you said, where the TV rating, you know, it's not a TV play. The owners might get rid of it because they don't want to hurt their pocketbook.
I opened my show yesterday with that. I opened my show
about the Alan Sills and being, him being brought up. Right.
That's what, when you parachute the competition committee and the NFL doctor and the commissioner, like you said, come May, that thing's gone, dude. That thing's gone. There's not a chance he's going to get the other 8 votes. Look, this comes down to how that looks on TV. NFL is code for WWE. The only difference is you don't know the end of the script in football that you know in wrestling. If wrestling proves one thing to you, and I see you're becoming a fan more, remember something. Wrestling is scripted for television. Right. It's not scripted for winning and losing. Who puts the best show on? And that show could be drama. Nobody likes to see a team run the ball when you have changed every rule on the planet to throw the ball. I like it. I'm not suggesting to you that I don't like. I like
it. Yeah, you're talking about two different things. It's not about whether you like the football. It's about what's aesthetic. Right.
It's what sells to the P3 people. Right. Get this. Hardcore fans like me, you got me.
Yeah, no P1s, we're watching every game no matter what. They don't give a shit about us.
But the people who don't watch it all the time, man, I mean, what is that? The quarterback sneaks? Oh, look at that 25-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Look at those jet sweeps.
That's true.
Okay, that's why I think they're getting rid of it, because it's not aesthetic to the eye watching the game.
Well, I think an even better question here.
Everything else is made up.
Yeah, and Sills, I mean, that's the question, right? So if anybody wants to say you're wrong, all right, that's fine. What is it then? Why does the league want to get rid of it? Because the medical has already proven to be fake news, you know, and it's funny. The funniest thing about that is it's like, you know, and I don't want to get political here, but it reminds me of COVID, where like you look and you're like, hey, man, this thing's not really killing anybody. And then they have to bring out the big doctors and everybody. Oh, we promised this is a problem. You know, they brought in Alan Sills. Yeah, there is medical. Data that's come out has proven there's no medical concern with this play. But once Alan Sills says it, you know, now everybody wants to believe it. So that's not the reason. What else could be the reason?
There is no other reason.
The only other reason would be that to get it off TV, or I guess plausibly future long-term lawsuit.
Effect on.
Yeah, but that's lawsuit. Still even sells. That's still that no, whole. You, long
Jeffrey term. Lurie said it. Jeffrey Lurie goes like this. He goes, "How could you legislate something that could be?" He said that you can't say, "Dude, all I know is I'm not even debating the play anymore. It's gone." I'm debating how the NFL went.
Look at these. I knew this was going to invoke so many people. 1 million people died from COVID. All right, how many people had it? 3 billion worldwide? What's the percentage on that, Zeal? I mean, come on, man. We've already hashed through this. Let's go. Get up to speed here, Zeal and Secunda. Come on.
Those masks work too.
Oh, yeah, they really were. I am proud to say I've never worn a mask in my life. Ever. Never walked into one place with a mask. Never did it. Okay.
I love it. Oh, by the way, that leads me to another one here. I gotta love the wait a minute. What was it here with the owner here with the visit to the White House? That was another great one here, man. He was trying to make a comment about somebody asked him about going to the White House. He goes, "I don't want to politicize it in any way. You know, it's a great thing to be going to the White House." And then the whole time when he was bringing that up, he never mentioned Trump's name. mentioned.
I thought his answer on that was good. I mean, they're not.
He knows what he's doing.
He's very politically savvy as well. Maybe that's why he likes Nick, because he knows that Nick is politically savvy.
He knows what he's doing. Do you agree it's a foregone conclusion? Dallas Goedert is all but gone.
I do. Yeah. I think for sure he's gone. And we'll see what ends up happening, but I thought the White House thing was fine. I mean, I thought his answer on that was pretty good, but we'll see what they end up doing. You think everybody's going to go?
If that were me, I would tell them that I think this is a great honor for our team, no matter who's in the White House. Hey, look, Joe Biden was in there, or if anybody I hated, my team won a championship, I'd go. I mean, this is about celebrating my team's accomplishments. I'm not celebrating the guy in the White House. I'm celebrating my team. You're celebrating me. You invited me, Hoss. I wouldn't invite you to my house if you felt that way. But, I mean, if
I'd invite you over, but you wouldn't come.
That's not true. You're one of the very few that I would believe.
I'd set the table. I'd have a nice dinner ready. I'd be. Where is this guy?
There'd be gabagool.
I got a fresh plate of homemade Italian dinner. Where is this guy? He's not showing up. That would be silly.
Let me go down some of these things. He talks about a wonderful culture that he's created. It's on him, isn't it? That's Jeffrey Lurie's culture. It's not Nick's. It's not Andy's.
Yeah, it's not Nick's. I think Andy helped establish it, though.
Yes.
I mean, remember, I don't know how much Jeffrey Lurie knew about football. Like, that's where I think Andy helped set the culture. And I'm not saying Jeffrey didn't know about football, but I'm saying to develop the philosophy that they have.
It sounds like he does.
Trenches, and now it does. But I mean, of the trenches and just where the way they build up their team, I think that came from Andy. But overall, I do think I think the owner has done a good job at creating an environment where people want to work. They want to do things the right way. And by the way, I think this goes a lot deeper than the public names of Howie Roseman. I mean, I'll go as far as how about the social media team, right? Like, they create amazing. It looks like they strive to get better at their job every year. So I think everybody has that mentality inside, and that I agree is on the owner. I think that's a reflection of the owner for sure.
Is he out of money?
Nah. New, not even close.
He went out and got a minority partner too.
He's not out of money, my brother.
I'm just saying, well, the way he was talking, like, what was he saying?
I took it the opposite.
He said that the over the cap money is becoming an issue. When I listen, that's exactly.
No, he said he's not going to change the way he does business.
He did address and say there's 68 million over the cap now, and that money will be changed. And obviously, they're going to be able to defer it, get it back under the two. They're 290, right? It's 281, right? So they're not. They'll be able by the draft. I think it's June 1 they have to have that thing down. Because that's when all those cuts happen after June 1 and all that, Xander. I think that's when you have to be in conform with all that when it comes to this year's cap. It's June 1. But he did address that, saying that it's become now an issue. How much of an issue? How much is that going to affect deals coming down the line? Like you said, okay, well, if we're going to take that, what you're saying, and we're looking at all these new players that they believe in, let's just say everything works out the way it's been working out. So then I would believe this. AJ comes off the books. Lane comes off the books. You start with the older players, don't you? You don't start with the younger players. Gotcha. So AJ, Lane, Saquon, all of those guys in the next 4 years, you're looking at those players, are you not? Those three players are the first to be addressed. I'm not going to say whacked. I'm going to say addressed. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't know, though. I didn't really take it like you did. I think that
where would the money come from?
He was saying to me, I've spent the most cash of any owner in the league in the last 10 years. Okay. I'm going to spend the most cash of any owner in the league in the next 10 years. Howie has done a great job at drafting really good players. While that's all good, they all have to be paid. And if we pay everybody at market value, it's never going to work. Well, we won't be cap compliant, and we don't have the cash for that. So if we do want to continue to make great contracts like we have with Jalen, with AJ, with all of these guys, we have to prioritize the right people for that. And, Milton's a perfect example of it. Milton's a great player. He's not worth $26 million of that dollars to the Eagles, right, because they have to pay Carter and Nolan and all these dudes coming up. So – I thought his explanation on that was fine, and I don't know. I just have a different take. I mean, I think they're fine on cash. They just know how much cash they still have to spend.
Well, they just proved it to you now that it's an issue for them. You don't let great players go.
Can't pay everybody, Sills.
That's what I just said. That money's got to come from somewhere. They're going to make tough decisions in the next 4 years. Is it the next progression to think AJ, Lane, and Barkley? That's where the older players with the big contracts are.
I mean, I think Barkley's going to be gone after his 2 years, after the next 2 years. AJ is going to be an interesting one because you have two wide receivers. He's going to be – how old is AJ now? 28?
I think he's 28. So you're talking about 31.
He's 27. He turns 28 in June.
Yeah, but that's not the age. It's the number. It's the money. It wasn't anything. By the way, let me say this to you about Josh Sweat and about Milton. This kind of is a little bit from yesterday, too. You may not think those guys are worth that money. They're worth that money to that number one defense. Those guys were instrumental in being part of the number one defense in the league.
Yeah, but those guys weren't just running. It's not about running out of money. I think it's just about you have to be
appropriating. How about the word appropriating?
Right, exactly, because there is a limit, and it's not even about how much money Lurie has in the account. There's a league set limit that you have to be within. So I don't know. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie's hurting for money at all. I mean, I think he's probably ready to buy a new yacht soon, honestly.
Here's something though to think about. If one of those younger players doesn't continue to rise and doesn't continue to fulfill his destiny, because let's take a look at this. They paid Carson Wentz, right? They gave him the richest contract at one time in NFL history, correct? That thing fell apart within an 18-month span. So they have made mistakes before. They made a mistake with Bryce Huff. Like you said, I think this draft will solidify the younger players that they have on the team if they get this right. I think this year's draft is exceptionally important to the future of how they're going to operate when it comes to how they're going to, let's use the word, delegate the money and how they're going to spread it around. Do you think they ever get to a balanced situation where they're spending as much money on each side of the ball? Or do you think that's always going to lean on the offensive side?
I mean, you got to think it'd be offense, but if you look at some of the contracts and some of the players coming up, you'd have to wonder. I mean, what's it going to look like? Forget 3 years. What's it going to look like next year when Jalen Carter gets paid? You got to make a decision on Nolan Smith. By that point, Jordan Davis will have been worked out. You'll have a decision on N'Kobe Dean. You'll have a decision on Reed Blankenship. You'll probably start already be thinking about Quinyon and Cooper. That's in year three. Like, what's it going to look like 12 months from today? You know, it could be drastically different. And then you start to wonder, is it because of how good they've drafted on defense? Maybe they flipped the script a little bit, but I don't know. Look at the moves they made this offseason, Sills. I mean, they upped Saquon. They let defense Milton walk, Sweat walk. And who
CJ?
Else? And CJ walk. They made all the cuts were on defense. So it's clear that right now they're still focused on offense. But I think in the future it could be tilted.
We'll get to your supers in a second. Please hit the like button, guys. A couple last ones here for you before we do that. Do you think Howie Roseman's job status is tied into how long Jeffrey Lurie remains the principal operator of the team? And what I mean by that is, as long as he's still involved day to day, is he the decision maker that will keep Howie? Because you brought a point up this morning and we kind of were going back. I mean, you know, you could say it was luck, it was hindsight, it was whatever. He still had the guy in the building. Do I think he would have let him go? I do. However, no one called. So all that being said, it was a good move turning into a great move. Same thing with the Hurt. I'll tell you what, for a guy that gets lucky, he got lucky on Hurts. He got lucky keeping Howie. That's a lot of luck, man, to go your way where that's worked out. But do you think Howie's job status as general manager of the team is tied into how long Jeffrey Lurie runs the team?
Well, naturally it is.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. But the right now, Howie's 49 years old. Jeffrey Lurie's 73. So something's got to give, because Howie's not going to be done in 8 years, or even let's say Jeffrey goes another 10 years. Howie's going to be 59. I don't anticipate him retiring at 59. So what's going to give would be Jeffrey already talked about. He talked about his son yesterday. I mean, his son's getting the team. That's who's going to be the owner of the team. It's going to be his son, Julian. If Julian thinks that moving on from Howie Roseman is in the best interest of the football team, I will lead the parade down Broad Street of sell the team with everybody, because that would just be stupid. I mean, who the fuck do you think you are? Never owned an NFL team in your life. You got a guy that's won two Super Bowls managing the ship, and maybe it's more by that point. You're going to move on from him. Now, maybe if Howie's performance slips, all right, it's a different story. But if things continue as they are now and Julian Lurie wants to make that move, I think it's going to make Julian Lurie look a lot worse than Howie Roseman.
Well, you're not thinking like a billionaire thinks. But okay, because you missed it, what he said. I've had Julian in the personnel department, in the cap department, in coaching decision hires. I've had him in every aspect of the team and how the team operates. That's a general manager's role. That's not an owner's role. I've had him understand every single component of how the Eagles are run. Does that sound like a guy who's just going to sit back and go like this? Go ahead, Howie. And to your point, when a new sheriff comes in town, doesn't he want to make his own way and his own comments and his own statement?
That's sure, for sure. That's all part of it. I mean, but again, even if you want to chart your own path, you got to be smart enough to know what you don't know. And if you're going to come in here and think another GM is better off, I don't think it's going to be the right move. So I don't think you're wrong. I mean, look, Jeffrey Lurie hangs it up, gives it to his son. His son's going to walk in, you know, I need to make my imprint on this team. I need to make this bitch mine. You know, how do you do that? You keep everything the same? I don't know if you do. But here's the thing. We're in unprecedented success right now for the Eagles. So it's easy to say that right now. If the next 5 years, hey, we don't look too good, or we win, you know, we're 500 team. All right. And you start to be more receptive to change. But right now, nothing needs changing. So if Julian wants it anytime soon, in fact, Julian, I hope you're learning from what they're doing, because right now they're doing a pretty damn good job. So take notes.
So when Jeannie Buss took over for the father, the Lakers, there was a general manager that was prepped by Jerry West by the name of Kurt Rambis. And Kurt Rambis was putting those championship teams by getting Paul Gasol, Shaq, all that shit, putting that team together. When Jeannie got in there, the brother wanted to make big old waves, wanted to change the Lakers. Well, ever since that time, they've got kind of a Mickey Mouse championship with an asterisk on it. And they got one from Kobe, and it's been the worst run since they moved from Minneapolis. Look at the Steinbrenners. They got one world title since the boss died. All I'm telling you is Little Junior gets his hands on the team. Little Junior.
They should make Howie a part owner. That's what they should do.
Hey, he's going to go in there. So this leads me to this with Howie. You start to see that writing on the wall. This guy hit 75. Do you want to sign a lifetime contract? Or do you want to sign a 5-year contract knowing full well that your days are numbered, because that kid's going to come in and that kid is going to make his own way? Don't you do something like this?
But if you're Jeffrey Lurie, don't you want to protect as well your legacy as the owner, because your son's also got your name? So what I would do if I were Jeffrey Lurie is I would take
put a per diem in there that you run the team, but Howie stays?
No, what I would do is I would work a deal to give Howie, all right, when I'm out the door, I'll give you 1% of my team. 1%. And you make the same salary. Huh?
That's
if it's worth $10 billion, that's $100 million. If you sell.
He sold 8% of the team for $2.2 billion. 1% what, dude?
He sold 25%. No, what did he sell? How many percent? 10% of the team?
May have been 10. I thought it was 8.
10% for 750 mil. 1% would be 70 million if it's worth 7 bill. If it's worth 10 bill, it's 100 million.
You think Howie's worth giving him a percentage of the team?
If we get two more Super Bowls in the next 5 years, you're damn right. I think he's worth 100 million. If Jalen Hurts makes 55 million, all due respect to Jalen, and Jalen Carter's going to sign a $200 million contract, yes, I think Howie would be worth $100 million of the worth of the Eagles. Yes, I do. And I would do that because then it would ensure that your son doesn't fuck it up and you would continue the success of the team, presumably, as long as Howie's still operating at a high level. And that's what I would do. I think Howie's earned it, baby.
Okay, if you're Howie Roseman, what's to stop you from doing this? Woody Johnson comes to you and says, here's 5% of the team in ownership. He sold 8%. I knew he did. It was 8%.
Was it 8%? Yeah.
Yeah, listen. What if the Jets come to him and go, here's your 1%, Howie, to be the general manager of a team.
See, if it's the Jets, it's like 1%. Bitch, I ain't talking until you're at 10%. The fucking Jets. Yeah. I'm not coming there. Yeah.
Hey, well, hey, that 1% in New York versus Philly, you know, we're talking about real estate here.
Yeah.
Okay? We're talking real estate.
That's true. That's true.
All right? It's not about whether you love a team or not. You live in New York City. Ask your brother about real estate.
No, I know. Believe me, I know based on rent and everything like that. It's insane up there. It's a different world. But if Howie wants to go to the Jets – the only way that will happen is if the Eagles brass makes a dumb decision. So I'm not going to criticize Howie for it, but I don't anticipate that happening. Yeah.
No, but you wouldn't want to even find out what your value is on the market. You don't even want to know, or are you so comfortable right now with what you're doing? You don't care what's out there. So you're going to do what a Zach Bond did? I don't really care what's out there. I feel comfortable here. I'm good. Grass ain't
greener. That's what Mike Gill was saying this morning. Look, we all have professional goals in life, right? Like is there something left that Howie is like, I want to accomplish that? We all know he wanted to be an NFL GM. He wanted to be a Super Bowl GM. Now he's accomplished that. He's been at the top of his craft for the last 3-4 years. He's accomplished that. He's won the general manager of the year. He's accomplished that. He's now, you know, going for his third Super Bowl. These are all things that he's checked off his list. Is there another thing? Is it, I want to revive an organization like the Jets? I don't know. Is it, we just talked about charting your own path. Does he feel like he wants to chart his own path outside of Jeffrey Lurie, who put him in the broom closet, you know, 8 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever it was? Maybe he has that. I don't think so, though. I really don't. I think he's.
How about this? So Virginia McCaskey just died. That's George Halas's daughter from the Bears. And Theo Epstein was a great general manager who won a World Series with the Red Sox and won a World Series with the Cubs. They're going to freaking make statues of that guy for what he did by ending the curse of the Cubs and the Red Sox for what he did. All of a sudden, new ownership comes in and goes,
how do you want to do this?
Wait, I'm asking, wouldn't you, like you said, he wins one more too. Say he wins one more. Bears come calling. We would love for you to be the general manager of a team that is one of the original NFL football teams, the Chicago Bears. And you win a Super Bowl in Chicago and Philly. Hey, you win a Super Bowl in Chicago? Bro, you might go down as the greatest general manager that's ever lived. That city is as nuts as your city.
Yeah, but what if you win 6 in Philly?
Okay, they'll say what's this. Better? Congratulations, the owner helped you out a lot. Get where you are. You didn't win in multiple places.
Dude, let me ask the real question though. Will that be the actual perception, or is that the sillyized perception?
Well, John McMullen says it on your show every day. Howie is who he is because of the owner. I got that from your show.
Yeah, that's true. GQ says Jeff Lurie paid $185 for the Eagles back in the 90s. The Eagles were worth more than $1 billion. GQ, you might want to check your math, dog. They're worth about $10 billion, not $1 billion. How about 10 of them?
That's a good take by him. They may be listed at 6'6". You couldn't sell that thing for anything under 10.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at what the Celtics just went for.
He made money on his deal because the valuation that he sold the stake was a low valuation based on if he actually put the team on the market. What was the valuation?
$185.
It says 8.3 is following the sale of an 8% minority stake. So 8.3 is what they were valued at. They're worth 10.
Couldn't sell it for anything under 10.
What did Commander sell for?
I thought the Commander sold for $8 million. $7 million? No, $6 million? Did
it?
$8 billion. Was it?
Let's look.
I thought it was
$6.05 billion. Yeah. See, that was a good buy as a businessman because that's a storied organization.
Yeah, but the stadium is what drove the value down.
Yeah, but you can fix that. I mean,
Yeah, the value is going to go up with this new place they're building right near RFK or at RFK. All right.
That's the one thing I was surprised that they didn't ask Jeffrey Lurie yesterday was about the facilities and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
I was shocked. They didn't get that great grade, so – I thought somebody would say, hey, man, everything else is working. You thinking about investing some money into the facilities?
Wait a minute. Who says that you guys – I wish John McMullen was down there asking some better questions because nobody followed up with, hey, it was that emotional intelligence? I mean, I would have followed it up with, hey, dude, when you were in the bye and you were 2-2 and you were 7-9 in the last 16 games, were you loving his emotional intelligence? Nobody followed up. Dude, it was the biggest love fest I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God.
Just won the Super Bowl, man.
You know, you're right. You can't be a dick there like that. I get it. But I mean, no follow up to like this question. How does it feel to lose all those players? Do you think you're the same team you were on February 9th?
Well, he did get asked that.
He did, but no one followed up going like this. Do you really feel that you're in the room to repeat when you've lost 12 viable people that?
Yeah, but here's the see. Jeffrey Lurie, thank you for bringing this up because Jeffrey Lurie gave me all the ammo I need to shut you down on this question. Jeffrey Lurie's response was masterful. It was, well, are we as good as we were last year? The 2024 Eagles might be one of the greatest NFL teams of all time. It's going to be hard to be better than the greatest NFL team of all time. That was a great answer by Lurie, baby.
The greatest teams of all time repeat and are multiple champions.
No,
those are the greatest teams. That's like saying the 85 Bears are the greatest.
16-1 after the bye and the only loss came without their starting quarterback.
Dominated
the NFC Championship game 55-23. Dominated the Super Bowl 40-22.
And the Commanders, according to John McMullen, will win the East.
Dude, watching the Super Bowl wasn't even that exciting and felt like the game was over after the first quarter.
John McMullen. I pulled John McMullen into the Commander love of the East. Look at that. Look at those pipes, boss. That's what a tush push looks like.
You're a Giants fan and we're exposed.
Easy. I am not a Giants fan. I used to be when I was a kid.
It's fitting for you. You know, a bottom of the barrel freaking team like that. Perfect for Celia.
How many Hall of Famers do you have compared to the New York Giants?
I know. I know. They were a good organization back in the day.
Yeah, watch this. I love what he just said. They were good.
Well, that's true. It's true. I mean, you know, I'm 26, Hills. I'm not 56, all right? I can't live before I was alive.
Hey.
All right?
I am pathetically upset that, you know, every time Barkley had a game like that, I'll tell you the truth right now. Watch this. You know how you would come on the air? We would do that post-game show. Do you know what drove me nuts? Was thinking that guy was in fucking New York. You didn't build a team around him. You let him walk out the building by not attempting to build a team around him. And that guy is who that guy is?
Yeah.
Did you think he was that good?
Who?
Barkley?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think anybody thought he was that good.
He had two knee injuries in 4 years.
Yeah, and he was on the Giants, but he was that good.
That's the point. He was on the Giants.
I know.
And you're and like, he hates, he's, you know what he does? You know what I think Barkley feels now? Once a Giant, always a Giant. And I agree with that. However, I think he loves the fact that now people get to see the true Saquon Barkley. You know?
Yeah.
He could never really show who he was because he didn't have good players around him. This guy looks like he's running at Penn State again.
Yeah, Saquon and the Eagles were a match made in heaven. They really were.
Correct. Yeah. All right, let's get to the Supers. Gary Cobb will be with us at the bottom of the hour, and we will test his emotional intelligence down at the bottom of the hour. That's the line of the
off-season
meetings.
Yeah. It is. All right. Brian Pumper says winning a championship in Philly is the biggest achievement in sports. Let's be real. It is. It's one of.
I'll tell you where. Hey, wait. Winning a Super Bowl in a championship in Philly, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Green Bay. There's nothing like that. The rest of those teams, I think the bigger the market, the less interest you have in your football team. You really get this. The NFL didn't have football in Los Angeles for 20 years. Nobody in LA, you think the fans were screaming about getting two teams? The league was fine without. Do you realize there's only one team in New York? It's the Bills. It's not the Jets or the Giants. It's the Bills.
There's only one team actually inside New York. Well, they can thank the politicians for that. I mean, come on.
But the point is, again, nobody gives a shit about. They care about the Yankees in New York. I think they care more about the Knicks and the Yankees.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, the Knicks,
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's one of the sickest places of all time.
Boston, too.
Boston's dope. Boston's a good sports city. But, yeah, Philly's getting up there. I mean, I think Philly's close. I don't think it's got quite the history because I don't think we have as many titles. You know, I mean, if you win more championships, I think you grow the lore of your city. And we're big enough of a city, but – we need a dynasty. We haven't had a dynasty in Philly. I mean, the Flyers in the 70s, but like.
I know, 2 years in a row.
And I'm the biggest.
You want four and six. You want four and six. I'm the biggest
guy out there, but.
Right? You know, you want like four and six.
And you need it in a big sport in the modern day. You know, you need football, even basketball, something like that. You need, you know, the Sixers are. Oh God, I don't even want to think about them right now. They drive me crazy. But Philly's a good one. Philly's a good one. We'll see. JD3 says, out of Ringo and Sidney Brown, which one are you least concerned about stepping into a bigger role?
I would say Ringo.
Least concerned?
Oh, no. Sidney Brown. Sidney Brown.
I'm going to go Ringo because I like the pedigree, Georgia. I saw him dominate the SEC. I think he's got all the traits he needs to be a good cornerback. You know, it's one of those things. If you built him in a lab, a cornerback in a lab, like Keeley has a lot of what you'd want with the length, the speed, the size, the physicality, but he's a little handsy, he's a little bit unpolished. So I like Ringo more than Sidney Brown, but good question. JD3 says Rona was a bigger scam than paying off 17 million. I shouldn't have said that thing because, you know, people get their panties in a bunch. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset all you guys bringing up the great COVID of 2020. I think we've all moved on. John McMuffin's narrative this morning is big cap. Saying the NFL loves the Eagles. Y'all think this happening if we lost? I don't think so, sir. I do think you're right about that.
Nope. Yeah. Hey, they hate that play because it's not a good TV play.
Yeah.
Exactly. Last one, Rich.
Brian Pumper says, Jalen Hurts is the Chauncey Billups of the NFL, not no Hall of Famer like Tim Duncan. You dudes are sniffing sawdust. Well, I thought the Tim Duncan comp was good, but I don't find him to be boring like Tim. Like, that whole team was boring, man. Manu Ginobili was boring.
You think five championships?
Tony Parker was boring. Huh?
You think five championships is boring?
I didn't say that. Based on what you compared him to Tim, I think for those reasons,
yes.
In your comp, I'm not saying it was a bad comp, but I don't like even the Eagles. Last year, yes, running is boring in the modern NFL. Not when you have Saquon Barkley and he has seven carries that go for 65-yard touchdowns.
29-03 and 18 touchdowns is boring.
That's boring to Cilio.
No. It's boring to the league.
Wrong. The ratings on the birds are high, brother.
Get this. The salaries don't dictate that. Those guys making that big money aren't making that money because they're winning. They're making that money because it looks good on TV. And by the way, I like the way they win. I'm just telling you, you're paid for some reason.
Dude, I'm not mad at the Tim Duncan comp. The guy won, like you just said, five championships. I mean, how can we be mad at that? I'm just saying that whole team.
Tim Duncan was the most boring guy on the planet.
I know, so but even worked. That team sells. Like, even Tony Parker, if you didn't know who Tony Parker was and you saw him on the street, you'd think he's a regular dude. Manu Ginobili, same thing. I mean, that whole team was different.
That's right. Well, that's what you get when you get foreigners on the team. No one cares. I don't.
There you go. Rich Sills, make like a tree and move that Cowboys home. I've been telling him, Rich, move that thing out of there, but he doesn't want to listen to me.
I moved it away from the Jerome Brown jersey.
I told you, put it on the other side of the Thunder helmet.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, see you, Sells.
All right, man. Xander, I appreciate it, my friend.
Later, brother.
All right, man. Hey, guys, don't forget, hit that like button. I can't wait to test. What was that word and phrase? that Jeffrey Lurie used. I want to use this on G-Cobb. Emotional intelligence. Let me use the emotion. You know, I really love the emotional intelligence of G-Cobb. I mean, when Jeffrey Lurie was dropping that science on us, they're at the NFL owners meeting. What a soiree and a fireside chat that thing was.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.